Extend Christian greetings this morning in Jesus' name. I trust our hearts have already been lifted toward a high and heavenly God. Our minds are centered on spiritual things this morning. It's so easy to be sidetracked to the material things, natural things of life. But I trust we value these times together to enhance our spiritual life and to enhance our relationship with one another as a brotherhood. I'd like to bring a message this morning that I've entitled The Presence of God. I think we find because of the limitations of the human mind, it's hard to understand how God can know every minute detail of our life, our thoughts, our every movement, where we may be at any given time, and so forth. The words that describe these attributes are omniscient. That's God's all-knowing power, and omnipresent, God's all-seeing, everywhere present power. For us and all true believers, this should bring a sense of security, should give a sense of peace, but we also know to the sinner, to the unbeliever, it brings a sense of fear and disturbing, something very disturbing. But God has a special care for his own. And we can rest in that. We can find rest in our souls knowing that we have a Heavenly Father that cares and watches over us. And while he does allow sickness and disasters and death to come to his children, he is always in control. And we can have that confidence and trust. He's always in control, according to his almighty plan. And we will never understand on this side of eternity how this is completely. But one day, face to face, we will know. Are we looking forward to that time? I trust we are. And yet, we're human beings with a desire to live. And that's God placed. That is God's will, that we would desire to live. And yet, the Apostle Paul found himself in that place. He said, I'm not sure the words are, I can't bring the words back any, but he said he would desire to leave and go to be with his Father in heaven. But he thought it more needful that he would stay and admonish and help to build the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, we have scriptures like Psalm 121:4 says, Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Hebrews 4:13, Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Tremendous scripture we have there. Neither is there any creature, no matter the smallest bug. It's all God's creation. However, when it starts to eat up the plants in our garden, we don't appreciate it. But it's part of God's creation. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we have to do. Solomon wrote years before this in Proverbs 15:3, that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Just coming across some scriptures here at the start of the message. Jeremiah 23:23-24. God asked the question there. Of course, we know that Israel had backslidden tremendously, and And he, through the prophet Jeremiah, was trying to awaken the people, to bring them back. And he says there in that passage, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off?" Evidently, they didn't know. The people didn't know. And God's asking the question through the prophet here. "Can any hide himself in secret places that I should not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" And so it's bringing out God's attributes. He was trying to show the people that, yes, I see everything you're doing. You can't hide. The story is told of a man many years ago lived in the state of Connecticut. He's an ungodly man, man by the name of Brown. When services were held at the local church, this disturbed him greatly. He didn't want nothing of God. He wanted nothing to do with God. One day, he met the minister of the church, and the minister endeavored to show him, talk to him about his ungodly life, and it made him angry. He just wanted nothing to do with it. Finally, he just decided he wanted to escape it all. He took his family, and he moved out west. He bought a tract of forest land and went down in there and cleared some trees and built a cabin. And now he thought he'd be away from people. The nearest village was 10 miles away. And so for a little while, it went okay. But one day, sickness came in the family. And their little 2-year-old son got sick and died. The wife pled with her husband to call for a minister to pray with them and so forth. But he would not have nothing to do with it. So he made a little rough coffin, dug a little grave. He didn't dare to go to the village to ask for help because he knew they'd come, they'd have a funeral service. And so he went about this sad task himself with a very heavy heart. And so he put that little casket down the ground. And as he began to throw the dirt on that little coffin, his stout, evil heart broke. Tears started to flow fast to the ground. He thought with terror in his heart where his little son had went. Right there and then, that man's heart was broken. It was softened. God seen where he was at. God's eyes followed him to that little place down there in the forest. He knew all about it. Not long after, a missionary stopped by and looking for a place to stay for the night, and Mr. Brown gladly invited him in and said he could stay as long as he wished. The missionary shared the word of God with him, showed him the way of salvation, him and his wife, and that evil man, that ungodly man, along with his wife, by the marvelous grace of God, was saved and found peace and happiness. Why? All because of a loving God whose all-seeing eye would not let him go. We don't know how many times God works in that way with people. God uses the instrumentality of humankind to bring people to himself. And yet sometimes he works alone in people's hearts, bringing circumstances to bear that finally will break a stony heart. Humanism would like to reason it away, somehow saying some big bang happened. How foolish. Not a very good illustration, but I just thought about it. It's that foolish that We think of a Boeing 747, a huge airplane. How'd it come about? It didn't come about by some explosion in a junkyard somewhere. No, and neither does God's plan for people come about that way. Neither did the creation, all we see in the universe, come about that way. God simply spoke the word and it all came into existence. That's God's power, his all-knowing power, his all-seeing power, and his greatness. Skeptic was walking along the road one day and come upon a little boy flying a kite. It was a nice day for flying a kite, and the boy had the kite way up in the air, out of sight. Skeptic looked up. He looked at the little boy and said, "Sonny, what are you doing?" Boy said, "I'm flying my kite." He said, "How you know there's a kite up there?" Little boy, without hesitation, said, "Sir, I know it's there because I can feel the tug." That's the way it is, isn't it, with you and I and the Holy Spirit in our life? Friend, this morning, if you're not feeling the tug in your heart and life, something's amiss. That little boy knew he was flying a kite. He had that string. He knew. The skeptic couldn't see it because he didn't have faith. He questioned. He was a man that probably questioned everything. Like was said here, there's no absolutes. How true it is. We can't see God, but we can feel his Holy Spirit working in our life. Psalm 94, 9, 10, and the last part of 11 says, "He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that teaches man knowledge, shall he not know?" Of course, that's our God. Completely. Well, the first point, main point I'd like to bring is he knows us completely. And this may say some things already said, but invite your attention to Psalm 139. And I'd like to read the first six verses there. God knows us completely. Psalm 139, verse 1. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." And so God's omniscience is a remarkable reality. The psalmist here admits that his mind ran out. He couldn't attain unto it. It was too high. It was incomprehensible. Well, God can see right through us. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He searches out and compasses our paths. He knows where we're going to go, what we plan to do, and even what we pre-plan. He knows it all. Imagine God setting in on a murder trial where the jury is trying to decide whether this was premeditated or not. Well, immediately he could dismiss the jury because he could tell the judge the very thoughts before the act happened. It would have been over. Well, that's just the thought I had. Our speech is known to him. He knows before we form the word. Is it any wonder that he calls us to a life of holiness? He demands purity of thought and speech of his children. And verse 5 here indicates that God is present wherever we turn. Not as a secret agent to track us down, not at all, but rather as a bodyguard to protect us. His Holy Spirit will guide us into the right path if we stay close to Him and if we obey Him. That's our God that we serve. Secondly, He follows us everywhere. I'd like to read now verses 7 through 12 of this psalm. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God is omnipresent. He knows where we are at any given moment. Proverbs 5:21 says, for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. I had to just stop down and ponder, as it were, them words. Pondering, he pondereth all his goings. You mean to tell me that every individual upon the face of this earth, God sits on his throne and ponders their goings? Yes. That's our God. To the unbeliever, impossible. He can't do that. But oh yes, he can. That's our God. And I trust this morning that we have no doubt whatsoever in our mind that what the scripture says about that, it's very true. The eyes of the Lord, the ways of man is before him. Just where would you turn this morning if you wanted to disappear from God? Nowhere. There's absolutely nowhere. We can't. Jonah tried it. He didn't make out. Some years back, we was in New Mexico, Carlsbad Caverns. We took an elevator shaft and went down into the earth 700 feet. And that cavern was that deep that the surface water did not get through to form what we see in many caverns, the stalactites and stalagmites. Nice big cavern, the big domes and so forth. Beautiful cavern otherwise, but no stalactites, stalagmites. Did God know where we were? Well, sure. Sure he did. Absolutely. God's everywhere. Criminals try to describe their looks, change their hairstyle, change their name, etc. Doesn't work. They might escape the law for a while, maybe for a good while, but they don't escape God. God knows right where they're at. No one escapes the eye of God. The evils of man are carried out many times in darkness. Can God see? Sure he can. Verse 12 here says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Talk about night vision goggles. God's better than that. Yeah, he can see everything. He doesn't need night vision goggles. He can see everything's, there is no darkness to God. Man tries to hide, but he cannot. Well, seriously, this morning, it should cause a carefulness in our life. When we think about it, it should cause a carefulness in our life. Our pathway of life. Do we want to escape the presence of God? For the believer, no, we don't want to. We don't want to escape from the assurance of his guiding eye and hand, his total knowledge of everything we think, say, do, or the places we go. Not if we're right with God. Now, if there's some area of our life this morning that isn't where it ought to be, then we may have reason to fear. But if we have that relationship we need to have, and the Lord knows I'm still working on that relationship, and I have a long ways to go, but yet I don't want to shy away from him knowing the things I think, say, or do, or places I go. That's our God. Nothing can come between us without him knowing it. We need that kind of open relationship with God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a notion to give out the song this morning, number 58 in the hymnal, but the first stanza of that song, this Harriet Stowe penned these beautiful words of assurance of her God, the presence of God. She penned these words, still with thee. When purple morning breaketh, when the bird waketh and the shadows flee, fair than the morning, lovelier than the daylight, dawns the sweet consciousness, I am with thee. I don't know what for life that woman lived, but evidently she had a tremendous faith in the presence of her Lord. Romans 8:35 asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can, unless we allow it to. Bible reading, prayer, obedience to his word, living holy lives, etc., separating ourselves from any evil influence. These are all areas, and these are all areas that I would confess that I need to keep growing in my life. They're necessary. If we do stray, he's always there waiting till we cry out to him for help to come back. Story goes, quite a few years ago, I suppose, there was a large, very large sheep operation in Australia, country of Australia, and it was shearing time. And there was a very large enclosure, which I think the story went, there's over 1,000 sheep in one enclosure. And evidently, the lambs were taken away from their mothers over shearing time. So this one little lamb was ready to be united back with its mother. So it was taken out of its pen and placed in this large enclosure. It stood there just for a moment. And then it let out a bleating cry. And way down at the end of that large enclosure, that mother heard the cry of her baby. And so amid all that flesh and wool, they called to each other and finally were united. That's so much like we need to do when we need help, to give out a cry. This morning, our ever-present, everywhere-present, loving God. You know, I think about amidst all the millions of people upon the face of the earth and all the noise and confusion that there is, he hears our cry when we call to him. Yeah? At the same time, he knows the number of the hair on the heads of all the people in the world. He knows where they're at. That's our God. There's nothing impossible unto him. But amid all that, he cares. His son shed his blood on Calvary that we can be saved and in all the world. all who will call upon him might not only be saved, but kept in his love. Very precious verse to me. It's become one of my very favorites, Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place, and that means choice place, the very choice place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Question we need to ask ourselves this morning, when we think of our all-knowing and all-seeing God, are we abiding under that wing, that shadow? If not, that's where we need to get to. That's where he wants us. He wants us there. And that brings us to the third final point, opening ourselves to him. We're back up in this psalm, Psalm 139 to verse 2 and 3. It says, thou knowest my down-sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Even though God is all-knowing, he's all-seeing and everywhere present, he waits for the invitation to come. To come in unto us. We're told that the doors of the houses of Bible time had no door latch on the outside. A rope needed to be put through the hole in the door to the outside so one could lift the latch and come in. And I thought about Jesus' parable, the 10 virgins. I thought about, you know, that's exactly, I believe, what happened there. Those five foolish virgins, and they went to buy oil. And when they come back, the latch string of the door was pulled in. It was no longer on the outside that they could enter. The Bible doesn't say that, but that's some supposition, I suppose. But the doors, you know, God stands there at the door. When we open our heart to him, it's like putting the rope out for him to come in. God doesn't stand there and pound on the door, try to knock the door down to come in, but he knocks gently. He knocks gently. He wants us to put that rope of our heart, so to speak, out, that he can come in. We can have a relationship. Our sins can be washed away through the blood of his precious son. We can find that peace and rest. If we don't have it this morning, it can be found. It can be our experience with him. He wants the invitation. When we open our heart to him, it's like putting that rope out. Today, if police want to search a home, a house, they need to get a search warrant. Not so with the Lord. He wants to be invited in. He wants to be invited. Man himself is not capable of completely knowing his own heart. The Lord himself only is able, through the work of the Holy Spirit, to do a complete search job. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. And so it stands that if in this life we do not allow God to search us so that we might be right with him, so that we might go the straight and narrow way, he, the judge of the earth, will give us not a search warrant, but one day he's going to give us a summons. And it's a type of summons that won't be a choice of ours whether we will appear or not. We will appear. It's a mandatory. It will be a mandatory summons to appear before him. Not only us, but all mankind will appear before God. Time of searching will be over. It'll be over. It'll be done. He will know and judge a righteous judgment. How is it with us? this morning. Let's not allow things of this world, the madness of rush and scurry of this life, to leave us in such a spiritual condition that the latch string is not left on the outside. And Christ is without knocking to be in. We have much going for us, brothers and sisters, friends this morning. We have so much going for us if we're faithful. He wants us. We're part of His bride. He wants us to make it. If before you was married and your girlfriend, you were engaged to be married, what for an attitude did you take? Did you really want her? Did you want her to succeed so that she could be yours the day of marriage? That's just the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us. We're part of His bride. He wants us. He died for us. And He's doing everything possible. In fact, Scripture says that He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He wants us to make it. It's up to us. It's up to us. We can live to the flesh if we desire. We can do whatever we want to, but we need to take the consequences. But if we're His, we want to be His as well. We want to join in the union just as much as Christ wants us. It's a mutual, it needs to be a mutual sharing of that. He's able then to bestow innumerable blessings upon us and give us what I trust is ours this morning and what we should be desiring of others as well. As we move through life, our desire to see others to make it, especially those in the brotherhood who we're a part of, then those we meet and come in contact with. The Scripture is Jesus was clear there in the Sermon on the Mount that we are to let our light shine. Nothing wrong giving out tracts and so forth, talking to people, but what they want to see is what we're doing, what our life is. It's up at our daughter Brenda's and Amos Burkholder's. They just moved over into the area of Berriesburg, where Rarisburg did an outreach to Berriesburg. And in their talking together as a brotherhood, Amos shared this with me. He said they talked about it's just, they just need somehow for a while just to get to know the people. Amos said these are not the type of people in that area that want you to show up necessarily on their doorstep. But they're looking, they're watching. They want to know who this group is coming in. And I believe there's a lot to that. But as we go, we need to be a witness. As we go, we need to let, not make our light shine, let it shine. And Jesus Christ in our heart. Well, in closing, I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. There's a passage there that Paul, it's a type of passage that you can read and read, and you still get new truths from it. Paul writes some pretty deep things here. Ephesians 1. I'd like to start at verse 3. Read verse 3 to verse 14. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in himself, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That word earnest there always takes my attention. It means the pledge. Which the pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption. You know, here we are. We're still on this side. We're still here on this earth in the human flesh that's apt to fail. But with God's grace, we can obtain that inheritance. It says here that it's according to the counsel of his own will. As I said, I come back to that thought of he wants us to make it. We're part of him. We're part of his bride. He wants us completely. May the Lord help us and keep us as we go about our work, our daily life this week and for however long that the Lord gives us breath, that we might live carefully. The songwriter said, Christian, walk carefully. Danger is near. We walk, as it were, among the thorns. We're between God and Satan. There's a war. Let's not let him down. Let's pray together.